Well, welcome once again to the one, to the only. It's the Grave Hour with Jackie.
Are you sure this is the one? This is the only one?
I mean, I hope it's the only one.
There could be more. Haters, or I guess not haters. Beware of, I guess, like bootleg? Grave Hour.
Bootleg yeah. Grave Hour, yeah. Maybe some Grave Hour stands out there just trying to recreate the experience.
I like it.
Yeah. So luckily, I'm in the proper view, and I'm not in gallery view this time, so you guys will be able to see both me and Eldon. So you can see our reactions to each other when we say ridiculous things.
Wow. Yeah, we say a lot of ridiculous things. So.
Yeah. And make ridiculous sounds, too.
True. Very true.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're doing disappearances today, because murders are scary, okay? But they at least have somewhat of a conclusion. Even if you don't know, like, who done it, you kind of, like, you're dead. You got something to sit with. Who done it? Yeah. Like, murders are scary, but, like, just flat out disappearing and nobody ever knowing what happened to you. Kind of the most terrifying thing ever. Kind of like really deep ocean water.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely with you there.
Yep, so I pulled up a list, because there are many, of some of the most crazy disappearances to happen throughout history. And the one that we just discussed that keeps coming up is the Roanoke Colony. I'm going to read this from SaturdayEveningPost.com. Gotta give credit where credit is due. Mm-hmm. And who wrote the article? Give me 2 seconds. Troy Brownfield wrote the article, and it was actually published April 29th, 2020. So this is recent. Oh, classified as the original American mystery. The second attempt at a colony on Roanoke Island is what would become North Carolina. It completely disappeared. So the first attempt was in 1585 and abandoned a year later due to, among other reasons, a dearth of supplies, which basically just means they didn't have nothing to work with, nothing to eat, etc. The second attempt was started in 1587, and various circumstances, including the Anglo-Spanish War, stopped founder John White from returning with supplies and equipment until 1590. So White and others found that the colony had at one point had a defensive wall, but the houses were stripped for parts, and buried supply trunks had been emptied. On a post was carved the word Croatoan, which was the name of both a nearby island and a Native American tribe, or indigenous, that lived there. Already had to leave due to ship difficulties before an accurate determination could be made, but for all intents and purposes, the 100-plus settlers had completely disappeared. Over the years, has had the settlers massacred by another tribe, assimilating into a different tribe, or suffering any other number of fates. And to this day, no one knows what happened.
What do you think, Jackie?
I mean, they were obviously wiped out by some, but probably by a tribe, at least the majority of them. And yeah, I think it makes complete sense that after that point, you know, it's possible that they just assimilated, or they somehow found a way to move on or died.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I mean, I think that what they came up with makes a lot of sense.
I'm feeling merpeople.
Mer people.
Yeah, that's why there's no bodies. Like there'd be some sort of, but that's the mer people just dragged them into the water.
Oh my gosh, you know what? Pretty much every mythological form of mermaid out there is a jerk and does want to kill you, so that does make sense.
Yeah, you know, if there's 100 mermaids, there's 100 people gone.
I love all of you, but we are doing the Grave Hour. Say, oh, you can't hear it.
Oh god, look at them. They're here.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm going to have to call you guys back, or you guys can just chat without me. I will see you probably Sunday if I don't talk to you later today. All right, bye. I love you. Sorry about that, everybody. We're back to your regular scheduled programming.
Okay. So merpeople, I think merpeople, definitely. Merpeople are giant crabs. That's what I'm feeling.
Giant crabs, yeah.
That's what I'm feeling, yeah.
You know what? Crabs are also pretty fierce, so.
Yeah, they'll eat everything. They're like the rats of the sea. So
that's true. Or mm-hmm. or aliens.
Aliens is always an easy one. I it's such a cop out to be like, no, we're abducted by aliens. Let's talk about ghost witch aliens. Now those, and I can see that.
Came in with a pack of invisible dogs.
Yeah,
invisible,
and then they didn't even see them coming. They were just gone. Yeah.
See, for anybody at home that's not going to get the jokes, maybe you're a new viewer, you've never seen us before, you need to go back and watch former episodes where me and Eldon were in studio, because mm-hmm. you will find clips of us cracking up over things that should not be funny. And by that, I mean Eldon has a very articulate way of taking scary scenarios and making them ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And during an episode where we talked about the Salem witch trials and witches in general, Eldon took a story about, oh my gosh, I can't remember what witch it was, but there was a part in the story where there were apparently ghost dogs or invisible dogs, and Eldon just couldn't handle it.
I had a lot of fun.
He had a great time.
Talking about disappearances,
ooh.
I think we need to talk about Amelia Earhart.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. You know what? You're the history buff here, so why don't you go right ahead,
Eldon? Okay. So Amelia Earhart, you know, she was like, no, I don't think she was like the first female pilot, but one of the very first, you know, pilots that was, you know, female that went across, she was going to go across the world. So she had flown all over the place. And she vanished.
Yeah.
Oof, thin air. And she was the first woman to fly solo across the Atlantic Ocean. She was the first, first woman to have a male navigator instead of like reversed. And she kind of just did her best. And then she went missing on July 2nd, 1937. She was just gone.
Yeah.
People looked for her for weeks and weeks and nothing. And then recently they found pieces of her plane and bones that we think are hers. So yeah. It's kind of like a solved mystery almost. By the time, like, she was gone for 80 years and no one knew what was happening.
Yeah, and I remember that there was like photos circulating where people thought that there was this woman on some obscure island, that it was possibly her. I'm obviously talking about this from memory, so don't take what I'm saying 100% as like concrete fact. But yeah, there was a lot of speculation about that maybe she was just living on an island somewhere when she ran out of gas or something to that effect. It was nuts.
Mm-hmm. And she was missing for it took 2 years until they finally said she's dead.
Yeah.
But the theory is she starved with her co-pilot because they landed on this sandbar and they think she starved and then crabs just ate them.
Oh.
And that's why there's not a lot of bones left, because crabs will just take it and walk away.
Oh my God, crabs.
Mm-hmm. Always crabs.
It's always crabs.
Always crabs.
See, this is affecting me personally because, like, I don't really believe in zodiac signs and horoscopes, but I am a Cancer. Uh-oh. Cancers are crabs.
Don't go on a plane ride with Jackie Graves. She'll end up eating you.
I'll get you.
Mm-hmm.
We also got to talk about D.B. Cooper, because this one was actually closed. The case was closed in 2016, but people continue to speculate about it.
Mm-hmm.
So the man who called himself D.B. Cooper hijacked a Boeing 727 to Seattle in 1971 after securing a $200,000 ransom, which back then, it probably would have been much more today.
Mm-hmm.
Cooper bailed out via parachute, and neither he nor the money was ever seen again. Many questions still surround the case, like, was Cooper an alias, or was it even possible to successfully parachute to safety from the plane's height? Whatever the case, Cooper disappeared from the plane and into history, never to be seen again.
Can you imagine that? You hijack a plane, you get the money, and then you just jump?
Yeah.
Like, you jump, and then you can imagine at a certain height, you just be knocked out immediately. Well, almost not immediately, but you'd be knocked out because there wouldn't be enough oxygen. So you jump out of the plane with the money and the parachute, and then you pass out and die.
Also, what if the money started, like, falling out of your bag and just into the air, and you just jumped, and now there's $200,000 worth of, like, $100 bills just floating through the sky?
Yeah, see, I don't know. That's just, like, I'm with you. Like, I wouldn't want to jump and lose the money. That's That's a game I don't want to play. I don't want to lose them. If I just hijacked a Boeing 727, I think.
Yeah, 727.
I don't want to waste that. Like, I just wasted enough time hijacking a plane, and I'm going to jump and knock myself out. Or even better, the bag opens and there's just money everywhere. And then it gets blown to some, you know, place that people are just, it's raining money. Wow, this is fantastic.
And okay, I just researched. This is like a real, like, plane. This isn't like a little tiny self-piloter. It's not like these planes just have doors that you can jump out of. Like, once you open up, like, the cabin pressure alone would, like,
probably knock you out if you weren't, or suck you out if you weren't, like, sitting down.
Yeah, exactly. So how, like, okay, so you mean to tell me, like, what did he do? Just, like, wedge something in the steering wheel, or did he just, like, say, oh, he probably put it in autopilot or something. Now that
maybe, but, like, what happened to the pilots? What did he do? What, did he shoot them? Like, what, how did he hijack the plane?
Maybe he just hijacked, like, an empty plane?
I guess, but, like, why? I don't know. That's,
where do you get the keys to a Boeing 727?
Yeah.
Do you just steal it out of some guy's lunch bag? Like, and just,
I don't know. That's not for me.
Yeah, no, there's too many missing pieces to this. You know what? If I do a follow-up episode, I'm going to look into this and do more research instead of just having this little tiny bit, because there's so many unanswered questions here. You want to talk about the Mary Celeste, though?
Yeah, so I can take this. I can take care of Mary Celeste. Yeah. So the Mary Celeste was basically, it has a long history. It was built in Nova Scotia. It was a Canadian ship, and then it got wrecked off of the coast somewhere in America, and then the Americans took it and repaired it and said, sweet, this is ours. And basically, it was, you know, it was a trade ship. It went back and forth between Genoa and all these other little spots in, I guess, like, where Haiti is in those areas. And it was really good. It was a really good boat, and it was going around for a long time. And then all of a sudden, in 1872, it set sail. And then a month later, it's found 400 miles east of the Azores, which are a group of islands. And the captain of the boat, so this boat that they spotted her on, noticed something strange, that she was sailing, and sent his chief mate and a small party to investigate. And when they got there, no one was on the boat. So the Mary Celeste was just sailing around on its own with no one on it, which boats don't tend to do. It was under full sail, which means, like, it's moving, but there was no one on board at all. No signs of a struggle. The 6 months of food supply and water were still among the supplies. Almost all of the 1,701 barrels of alcohol were still on it.
My God, it was a party boat.
Pretty much. There was a lifeboat missing, and were most of the ship's papers and several navigational tools. So a couple things of just that, put a pin in that for a second. The company that I'm pretty sure that I'd read, like, through other websites, I'm fairly certain the company that the ship was under like heavy, like, debt. So one idea is that they all just bailed and just let it go. But why would you not take the food and the alcohol?
Yeah, like, seriously, and the water too.
Yeah, like 1,701 barrels of alcohol is a lot of money back then. This is like the 1800s, so you can make some good money. It says the boarding party found two open hatches and 3 feet of water in the hold. However, the ship was basically in seaworthy condition. And the last entry in the captain's log was made 10 days before finding it. So they sailed the Mary Celeste to Gibraltar, and the captain himself climbed on to salvage the rights of the ship, because if you find the ship in the water, it's yours. Mm-hmm. So they think that, like, maybe there was crew on it originally, and he actually murdered them. But then this, like, British Vice Admiralty, which is, like, the head of the sea at that time, found that there was no way in shape or form any kind of evidence of foul play. So they're like, nope, you can have it. And that's just kind of strange. One theory, there's a book. I think it's a book that I read as a kid, and it was really freaky. I think it was about either the Mary Celeste or the Santa Maria, which are two ships that went missing. And the Mary Celeste, I think it was the Santa Maria. The book is about them turning into monkeys. And they just turn into monkeys and then crash the ship on an island, and there's just monkeys on the island, which is kind of weird. But it's really strange how people just disappeared.
Yeah.
There's tons of things. People think there could have been mutiny, it could have been piracy, ghosts, or a giant squid. Now, I don't think a giant squid would just take everyone off the boat happily. That's interesting.
Gosh, yeah, no, that's an interesting one. I think that we'll do an episode, like, just completely on, like, mysterious circumstances surrounding boats. Because I actually just recently learned the true story that inspired the book Moby Dick. Okay. And it's way worse than the book. And mm-hmm. it's super messed up. So obviously I have to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to take this time to actually bring attention to an investigation that's still happening. You've probably heard this name before. And if I mispronounce her last name, I apologize. I'll spell it to make sure that you know who I'm talking about. But it's Lauren, I think it's Spierer or Spierer, mm-hmm. but it's spelled S-P-I-E-R-E-R.
Okay. I have no idea who that is, unfortunately. So you'll have to tell me.
No problem. That's fine. But in March of 2019, the Time referred to the 2011 disappearance of Lauren as one of the most mysterious of all time. Now, the fact that she disappeared isn't necessarily unusual because in 2019, more than 235,000 women under the age of 21 have been reported missing.
Which is terrible.
Yeah. However, the circumstances surrounding the vanishing 20-year-old Indiana University student make it all the more baffling. I'm sorry, I wasn't rolling my eyes there. I was looking up because I thought mm-hmm. I heard something. Sorry about that. I was like, ghost?
Ooh.
So she was out with friends on June the 2nd and into June 3rd in Bloomington, Indiana. She was definitely in a local bar because she was spotted on surveillance video at 2:51 a.m. It was confirmed to have been sighted outside the residence of a friend around 4:30 a.m. And literally since then, she has not been seen again. That's but brilliant. The investigation still continues to this day, with FBI agents searching a residence in Martinsville, Indiana in 2016 in connection with the case. But there are currently no further leads unless something has been updated since then. So please do your own independent research. But there is actually a Find Lauren website that posts updates. And if you go to SaturdayEveningPost.com, there is a link available there if you want to learn more.
See, this is what really freaks me out is all these cases. When I used to go to my grandfather's and watch all these like crime shows and people going missing. I that is like my biggest fear.
Yeah.
Is no, not like, cause they can, and again, as we talk about like murders and like murders or like anything, like, you know, if the person is actually dead or not, usually in a murder, but like anything, I couldn't imagine being a parent. I couldn't imagine being like anything. It would be terrible. Especially having someone like so close and like, you know, she was with her friends and now she's just gone. Like, what do the friends think? Or is it like, how do you blame yourself or you'd have survivor's guilt or anything? It would be terrible. And I couldn't honestly, I don't think I could survive that.
No, I don't know how people do, because especially not knowing, like, have they, and trigger warning really quickly, I'm going to talk about sex trafficking. So in terms of that, you don't know if they've been sold into sex trafficking. You don't know if they're being, another trigger warning, tortured somewhere or what's happening to them. Like just being like a kind of a crime enthusiast myself, I try to stay away from certain content because there is stuff that even upsets me. And I can't remember the young lady's name, but there was a young lady that was literally just abducted when she was very young because she thought she was talking to a young boy online and she was locked in some man's basement and abused for days. She was lucky enough that she was found, but that stuff scares me more than anything. And I would be just the most paranoid parent. Like I would be no fun whatsoever. My kids mm-hmm. would be like, Mom, can I stay out till sunset? And I'd be like, no. Mm-mm, not unless you have a machete. So we're going to move on from that. This one's not necessarily any better, but we're going to talk about the Springfield 3, which happened back in 1992, which was 1 year before I was born.
Wow.
Yeah. So on June 6th, 1992, Susie Streeter and Stacy McCall graduated from Kickapoo High School in Springfield, Missouri.
Okay.
The pair hit a series of graduation parties. And at 2 a.m. on June 7th, they decided to modify their plan of staying the night at a friend's house, deeming it too packed, and went to Streeter's home where she lived with her mother, Cheryl Levitt. At around 9 a.m., the girl's friend, I'm sorry, there's a lot of names, so try to keep up, Janelle Kirby and her boyfriend came to the Levitt house, which is her mother, looking for the girls. They were supposed to meet and go to a water park together, but the front door of the house was unlocked. Aside from a broken globe surrounding the porch light, nothing else seemed obviously amiss. However, Streeter, McCall, and Levitt were nowhere to be found. Their cars, keys, purses, clothing, and their cigarettes were all still in the house, as was Levitt and Streeter's dog. So McCall's mother came to the house later and reported the women missing. However, a strange message on the answering machine was accidentally deleted during the bustle of people moving in and out of the home. While there have been various tips and leads over the years, no trace of the women was found, and the case is still considered unsolved.
Oh, man.
This is just getting you, isn't it?
Well, it's like, okay, so I like this. Okay, so front door is open still. The strangest. It's the 90s. You know, maybe. Okay. But the fact, like, this is what always bothers me when everyone goes missing, or everyone but one person goes missing. But, like, how do you kidnap three people and not the dog? Like, if the dog wasn't dead, like, what kind of, like, most dogs at Hope would protect somebody. So, like, what happened?
See, it would probably be, and this is a hypothetical, I am not saying that this is what happened, but it could have been a situation where they were being held at gunpoint and they were forced out of the house and they didn't have the opportunity to struggle. And, you know, it depends. Maybe it was like a little tiny, like, a Shih Tzu or something that couldn't do anything. Anyway.
But, like, I'd rather get shot than kidnapped. I'm going. If they have a gun to me, I'm, like, rushing them. You shoot me, I'm dead. Whatever, it's fine. Yeah,
exactly. So it could have been a situation where, you know, it could have been a burglary gone wrong and they decided, okay, well, we obviously can't, like, these girls seen our faces. They possibly, this is hypothetical. I'm not saying that this is what happened, but it could have been a situation, yeah, like a robbery gone wrong. Individual realizes that he can't let these people live, but maybe he didn't want to kill them in the house because obviously that's the easiest way to leave evidence. Mm-hmm. That would make sense why they left everything behind, but they did point out that there was nothing amiss other than like a broken light outside. So I take it that nothing was taken. Therefore, my theory actually doesn't make sense at all.
I'm thinking aliens then.
Aliens.
Yeah, like all seriousness. Like this is like the kind of thing. Like you get conspiracy theorists who would talk about all these kinds of things. And you look at the Bermuda Triangle. Bermuda Triangle is the most, I guess, scariest place in the world to go missing. But like these people have never been found, and this was almost 30 years ago, right? Did I get that right? Almost 30? Yeah, almost 30 years ago. And that's a long time. And this isn't just like two like out of high school girls. We're talking about a mom too. And the fact that no one has any idea what happened. Like, I want to know what the strange message was. What was the strange message?
I know. That was the part that made me so upset.
Mm-hmm. Like, how do you delete it accidentally? You're like, oh, that one's kind of weird. Delete.
Yeah, just like all people were going in and out and they accidentally deleted it. I would be like, you're fired. Even if you're not a cop, you are fired from life. You're fired. You have to be a potato now.
Mm-hmm.
Not allowed. All right.
Yeah. And like some of these, like especially the missing child cases, not what I wanted. Like that is not something I would ever, people are sick.
Yeah, I was going to talk about Eaton Paths, but I decided not to because honestly that one gets me and just stuff with kids get me. I try if I can to avoid talking about situations where children are hurt. Like it's different if you're talking about spirits or something, especially if it's hypothetical and you don't know it's true. But like the real stuff that happens with kids, that gets me a little too much. So I'm going to talk about Jim Sullivan instead.
Okay.
And we'll wrap it up here soon. So singer-songwriter Jim Sullivan cut two albums between 1969 and 1972. He played the high-end club circuits, made friends in the movie business, and even performed on TV shows and appeared as an extra in Easy Rider. Never seen the movie myself. In 1975, Sullivan abandoned his car at a ranch in New Mexico. He apparently left behind everything he had with him, including his guitar, copies of his albums, clothes, and money. Reports indicate he was last seen walking away from his car and he was simply never seen again. A variety of stories circulated as to his possible fate, but there has never been any evidence or body found.
Now, this is my thing, okay? So, let's say maybe it was, I don't know, it could have been like, let's say he was depressed and this was like his way of, you know, ending it all or going missing or whatever you'd like to do, but like, why just go missing? Like, if like, of all the ways to do this, I wouldn't want to just wander off into the dark one night and never come back. That is not how I want to be remembered. It's like, this is very similar to like Harry Holt, who was a prime minister of Australia, who just went missing one day. Everyone thinks that he got sucked in by reptile, but he was like a crazy good swimmer. So it's like these kind of things where there's almost no reason.
Right.
It's freaky.
Oh my God. Dude, okay. I have one more, and then if you want to do another one, I'll let you go. I actually watched this recently on BuzzFeed Unsolved. I'm reading this from grunge.com now. I've switched my tabs over. Mm-hmm. And the Flannan Isle Lighthouse Keepers.
There was multiple keepers?
Yes, there was multiple. I think they operated in shifts, and they helped take care of the grounds and such. Mm-hmm. So in December of 1900... a ship landed at Eileen Moor, one of the seven islands of the Flannan Isles near Scotland, to drop off a lighthouse keeper and relieve one of the three currently stationed there. But as a mental floss explains, I don't know what a mental floss is.
It's a website.
Ah, okay. There were no lighthouse keepers there to greet. All three, Thomas Marshall, James Ducat, and Donald MacArthur, were gone, and things at the lighthouse were not right. I heard my headphones gave me a little bit of a disturbance there, and it was like
feedback.
A little feedback, getting me a little confused.
What counts as not right? You gonna tell me or
have to? Yeah, I'm gonna tell you.
Okay, sweet.
So an untouched dinner was set on the table, and a nearby chair was overturned. The clocks were all stopped, and the lamps were prepared for lighting, but they were unlit. Two or three men's coats were missing, which it was very cold at the time. And the doors and gate were tightly shut. Signs pointed to the men having been gone for about a week by the time their disappearance was discovered. It was strictly against the rules for all three keepers to leave the lighthouse at the same time. And these were experienced men who wouldn't flout safety rules very lightly. Investigators concluded that they must have gone to secure a crane, and they were probably blown off of a cliff or swept out to sea by an unexpected wave. And in fact, the final logs of the lighthouse did note storms so severe that the three seasoned mariners were crying and praying. However, this is the part that's going to mess you up, is there was no record anywhere else in the area of bad weather during the time period that they disappeared. But they were writing about storms.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I mean, it is Scotland. So, like, the Fae are pretty prevalent.
That's exactly it. And it doesn't mention it here, but there was one, I can't remember which one, but one of them did write in like a log that they were keeping that basically that they were kind of going stir crazy and that the tensions were high between the three men.
So they're like, how do you just go crazy? Like, you think being a mariner, if you're out there and you do this for a living, you wouldn't just all of a sudden snap one day.
Yeah. Who knows? Like, it could just be that they were so... my theory, and it's just a theory, I'm not stating it's
fact. You get a lot of those today.
Yeah, a lot of the... I have to say this because I don't want people to be like, well, you don't know that for sure. It's like, I know that I don't know. I am not an authority on this subject. I'm just a nerd. But my theory is that it's possible that they were just so isolated on the island that perhaps they could have... sort of had a shared psychosis where one person started kind of losing it a little bit, and just being exposed to that, they almost started having shared delusion, and maybe they were literally fabricating these storms in their head, and finally, like, something came to a head or something went amiss, and then it's possible that either one or two or somebody ended up killing someone. And then just possibly toss their body off the cliff or bodies, and then just dove in themselves.
I guess. Can you see me, by the way? No, because I'm missing.
Oh, no. That's it.
My greatest disappearance. But yeah, like, that's my thing is like, this is what freaks me out the most is like shows where like movies where it's all about psychology and like how people go crazy. That's not for me. Mm-mm. Like, I don't want to have to deal with crazy Joe the lighthouse keeper and, you know, his two buddies Frank and John. I don't want to. That's not for me. Mm-mm. And like you'd think, you would think being a mariner and being there for such a long time, like there wouldn't, nothing would happen. But again, like as I said, like it's Scotland. It's there's a lot of mythology there. There's a lot of angry spirits that you can tick off pretty easily.
We warn people all the time to not mess with the fae, because people think of fae and fairies like, oh yeah, they're cute, they're nice, they're friendly. It's like they are powerful.
No.
Not yeah. very, like, I'm not gonna say that they're all bad, but they probably ain't something that you need to invite into your life, typically.
We're talking like claim the firstborn, you know,
mm-hmm.
make your goat sterile, kind of stuff like that. And that's not good. Like, you know, I don't know, man, that's not for me. That is not for me. I don't want to go to the lighthouse. I don't even like lighthouses. Like, that's enough. It's heights, plus you're out there for like by yourself for a long. I can see going crazy by yourself, but with three other people, you can play checkers, you could play cards, you could play tag, goldfish, you could hide and go seek. It's a lighthouse. There's at least two floors.
Or you can play who gets an axe to the face first.
I don't like that game. No one ever wins in that game.
Okay, do you have anything else for me, Elmer?
I think that's pretty much all. Like, as I said, like most of the stories are kind of general. That's the issue with missing persons. The situations change, but they're still missing. Yeah. That's the issue. Okay. It's not like, I don't know. I gotta look for more stories that's like where people go missing and then appear.
Oh yeah, we could do a part two where we find people who were found after being missing after mm-hmm. a really long time. Yeah. Because that's a little more satisfying, I think.
I think so too. Like maybe one I want to mention is actually before we go, I guess I should mention this. The guy who inspired Indiana Jones.
Oh yeah.
Was like this archaeologist / like treasure finder, and he had heard about this spot. I think it was in South America. I didn't read the story well enough, and I've already closed the webpage, so I'm just going off memory.
Okay.
hope for the best. Basically, he and his son and his son's friend from school ventured off into the jungles to look for this, basically the crystal skull. And they were never seen again, like ever.
Oh my God.
I mean, this is another thing where it's the jungle. There are a lot of bad things in the jungle.
Yes.
If we're not even looking at mythology and like, you know, spirits of the jungle, we're looking at just animals. There's a lot of things that can kill you and eat you in a jungle.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, you know, you look at the mythology behind it. And if let's say they went to this like cursed tomb or whatever, there's a lot that can go wrong. There's a lot that can go wrong, and there's a lot of, like, even, like, the indigenous people in the area could have done something.
Yeah.
If it's the Amazon, there's still people there that don't use cell phones or electricity, and this was actually, like, this was, like, back in, like, the 1900s or the, like, late 1800s. So, there was time, and it was, like, the amount of discoveries we've made in the last couple, like, 100 years comparatively, there could have been something out there that just, you know, they fell in a hole, or they got, you know, eaten by cannibals, or a crocodile or something. Yeah. Giant bats. I don't know.
Oh, that would
aliens.
Be aliens. Aliens. Aztec. Aztec. Aliens.
I got you.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay, everyone. I think that I've had my fill of disappearances for today. And as we can see, Eldon is slowly being swallowed by the darkness.
It is. It's getting dark late. It's only 5:04.
I know.
Okay. How far can I go back before I'm gone?
Ew. I don't know if anyone else does that, but when things freak me out, instead of having a normal human reaction, I'm like, ew.
Thanks, Jackie. That's just my face.
No, you're not ew. You're a beautiful little bean. Come back.
That's like a... This chair doesn't have a back to it, so if I go too far back, I'm just going to fall.
Oh my gosh, please don't do that. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us today. We'll definitely do a part two where we do solved disappearances because, like, you know, why not? It'll be fun.
Yeah.
We'll probably do one on boats too because boats and water are scary as well. So thank you so much for watching. Please make sure that you follow Riot Radio, where you will be seeing this, on all of their social media at DCSI, Riot Radio, and you can listen to the majority of these podcasts pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
So very thank true. You so much for joining us, and thank you for being here, Elvin Atkin.
I'm always happy to be here, Jackie Graves, and thanks for still having me on the show.
Oh, no problem. I wouldn't do it with anybody.
Aw, thanks.
Okay, bye, everybody. Stay safe.
See ya.
Bye.